tonight! There we go. They're building a 15-story tall tower at Coronado Springs, and no, it's not themed to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, darn it. Missed opportunity.
It would be a comic. You can now get a picture with an Oscar at Hollywood Studios, and no, I'm not talking about the gas station. And Joe Rohde is explaining how Avatar fits into Animal Kingdom. That's right, the guy who has 12 pounds of hearing on one earlobe is telling you how to fit something in somewhere. You've read WDW News Today, and now you'll experience WDW News Tonight!
Live from Orlando, Florida, WDWNT, the worldwide leader in Disney Park News, presents WDW News Tonight. Now, here are your hosts, Tom Corliss and Nick LoCicero.
Hooray! Fake applause! Woo! Yep. I'm Tom Corliss. You're not Nick LoCicero in there. Thank you, Michelle.
You're so welcome.
Jason Diffendahl, somewhere in the control booth out in internet land.
Somewhere.
It has been a week.
It's time. It's time to do it all again. What are we doing over here? Changing light bulbs?
Michelle is like climbing on a chair.
How many WDWNT announcers does it take to change a light bulb?
Seven!
Sorry. It wouldn't move.
You're listening to the world's only radio show about Disney theme parks. WDW News Tonight. And, it's good to be back. Nick, you have a good week?
You know, I had a fantastic week. Did some Rivers of Light.
You did. You did see the show once.
Yeah. I didn't have time. It's so long. I didn't have time to fit it into my schedule too many times. So, Jason liked that. Other than that, just been getting along, doing good, forgetting my webcam. You know, the usual.
Forgot your webcam again. So, can we turn to Nick for a second, Jason?
Are you sure you want to?
Yes. For those of you watching in the video feed, you're going to enjoy this.
And the flash!
Yeah, so when Nick moves, it's just like this
I
blur.
I am the fastest man alive!
Wow. What you should have done, what would have been amazing, is if you did that and then you came back with like 20 race medals on, that would have been great. All right, enough of that. And now the news! Brought to you by TeePublic. Last week, Disney shared changes that are on the horizon at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort over the next 2 years, including a new 15-story tower that will add 500 rooms featuring suites and concierge-level services. You know, I've often said, I like Coronado Springs, but it's just too small and quaint.
Yeah.
The joke is that it is a large resort and it is hard to get around.
It's huge.
Yeah. It takes a while
it's
to walk
huge.
Around that lake.
Yeah.
Huge, with a Y.
The resort will also refurbish its current resort rooms and transform its landscape with floating gardens and an island oasis that connects the resort through a series of bridges, you know, so you don't have to walk twice the size of Manhattan to get to the lobby.
Like you do, yeah.
Gondolas would be cool.
Gondolas!
But like the boat ones.
Yeah.
Not the sky ones.
The gondola of any size would smell as sweet, right? It made zero sense, but I'm sticking with it. The new tower overlooking Lago Dorado, the resort's centerpiece lake, will allow guests to experience something truly unique. Rooftop dining with panoramic views of popular nighttime fireworks. Because that's never been done before! Where else can you do that?
It'll be fun. They going to charge for some Coronado dessert parties up there?
I'm sure they will.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
No. Also during this exciting time, Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort will be reimagined with new additions to the resort's current marketplace center town, including new waterfront dining and retail shopping areas. The centralized location will offer the resort guests more convenient access to services, amenities, and dining, except over the next 10 months when they are forced to eat from a food truck. Yes. So, yeah, in case you missed it, the old Port Royal food court shutters, Banana Cabana pool bar, and the Calypso Trading Post at Caribbean Beach are all going to be closed starting May 1st, 2017, as part of the ongoing reimagining of the resort. You know, Nick, I thought about making a joke that shutters will be shuttered, but I figured that'd be hard to swallow.
Yeah. Okay.
Much like their food.
You know, Shudders is also a nickname used currently for Hollywood Studios. and Coronado Springs. And STK.
Hey!
So fun story, they got rid of their lunch. There's no more lunch during the week.
Oh, wow.
I tweeted that today, and STK responded that brunch is the new lunch. I guess they're going to launch a brunch service on weekends.
I could do that.
But they're not underperforming, ladies and gentlemen. They just got rid of lunch during the week. They're not like having problems.
But who wants to go there for lunch? Do they do the whole DJ thing at lunch too, or is it just a nighttime thing?
No, do you go
it's
for
too
the
early
DJ?
For clubbing?
I don't know. But I don't know why you would go there for lunch. It's a steak place.
You can eat steak for lunch.
Yeah, why can't you eat steak for lunch? I'd rather have it for lunch. It has time to digest.
I don't know about that, but you can certainly have a steak for lunch.
When you eat it for dinner, then it's just sitting there.
Yeah, but then you dance because it's also a nightclub.
I don't know if I can dance after steak.
You know, when steak's on a bagel, you could have steak anytime.
When pizza's on a bagel.
That's going to be their brunch. It's going to be steak bagels.
Steak bagels.
I think they saw the big boat down the way do brunch, and they were like, oh.
They did, because Paddlefish is amazing. Yeah. And way better than STK, and you should just go there.
That's good.
But anyway, moving on. Where are we? Okay, so starting at that time, May 1st, Centertown at Caribbean Beach is going to serve breakfast and dinner, and a variety of grab-and-go options for breakfast, lunch, and dinner will be available at the food trucks located in Aruba, Jamaica, and Martinique.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Because nothing says the Caribbean like a food truck.
To a food truck, oh baby.
So, in short, if you're looking to eat at Caribbean Beach later this year, I guess you could say you are Old Port royally screwed.
My goodness.
I'm so proud of that.
That's really good. That was good.
It's the one good one you get this year, folks. Enjoy it. Old Port royally screwed. Can I say that on the air?
You did.
Okay.
Twice now.
Did you hit the dump button
I did not
twice?
Hit that big yellow button. Okay. So,
but is
we'll
that
see.
Word bad? Should no. I not say that?
No, screwed is fine. Okay. Especially this late at night.
It's preferable. It'd be like having steak for lunch. It makes no sense any earlier. Anyway.
Not at that location, it doesn't.
The pricing of the express bus service at Walt Disney World has been raised. As of today, the service is now $19 for the day and $29 for the week. Funny, these are the same daily and weekly prices you'll find on OBT.
Gotta be a local to get that one.
I think everybody knows what we're talking about.
At this point, yeah. They have to.
Hopefully they've never been there.
That's how you get desensitized to belts. But anyway, this week, it's an off-air inside joke. This week, Disney, this is the worst show we've done. This week, Disney released a new video showcasing Pandora, the world of Avatar. In the video, Imagineer Joe Rohde explains how Avatar will fit thematically into the park. The video is of Joe Rohde saying the word poorly. Disney previewed a number of limited edition pin series for 2017. This week, there will be a limited edition of 1,500 piece of Disney history series once again that will be resort-specific to Walt Disney World and resort-specific to pieces of Cabana's 9B from Coronado Springs. Get it? Because it's being demolished.
See, when you have to explain the joke, it's not nearly as funny.
That's why we have you on the show, Michelle. Thank you. What I think will be coolest to those of you who read WDWNT.com will be the Disneyland Pirates of the Caribbean 50th Anniversary Collection being released in March, and also a 45th Anniversary Collection for the Jungle Cruise at Walt Disney World coming out of May. That's right. The second ever Jungle Cruise is getting merchandise for its 45th anniversary several months after the fact, which will be the same amount of merchandise that the 50th anniversary of one of the most quintessential attractions in theme park history is getting.
You seem upset.
I want that to sink in.
Are you upset?
All they're doing for Pirates of the Caribbean 50th is pins, which is what they're doing. We'll knock the cup over. What they're doing 6 months later for the Jungle Cruise, the second one ever built at Walt Disney World. Not even a joke. That's a real thing. Anyway, New pins are typically released on Thursdays at the Disney parks, or likely before the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar. Jason, there's people there. There's Nick's blur.
It's like a rave.
Michelle is in nonstop motion. There you go. Thank you. Couldn't do it without you guys.
We're here for. I gotta have glow sticks. That'd be great.
Yes.
Want to buy some glow sticks?
Glow with the show.
I know a guy.
Does he fly a helicopter? Another inside joke. Running now through February 26, 2017, guests visiting Disney's Hollywood Studios will be able to act like a superstar in a one-of-a-kind photo op. The photo op features a backdrop complete with the iconic statuette from the Oscars, which will be located inside Walt Disney One Man's Dream, where, of course, now anything goes.
Anything goes.
Yep.
I like that song.
That mug is still not out at Jacqueline. It's been like a year and a half. It's still not out. Guests are encouraged to share their Hollywood Studios, quote-unquote, My Oscar Moment, using hashtag Oscars at Walt Disney World on Twitter, at least until someone turns it into something inappropriate.
It'll be 5 seconds.
Jimmy Kimmel, of course, is hosting the Oscars live. Oscar Sunday, February 26th at 7.
7?
Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on ABC.
I can't believe you put the time of the Oscars in there just to do a 7 joke. That's amazing. That's a
Thank
new
you.
Low.
It, you know, it really works when you point it out.
That's a new low.
Like I said, when you have to explain the jokes, gentlemen.
You want to write these, Michelle? You could write.
No.
Okay.
I enjoy this too much.
The Disney Parks blog announced that BB-8 will soon be meeting park guests at Hollywood Studios starting this spring at the Star Wars Launch Bay. The meet and greet will debut at Star Wars Galactic Nights and last until Brazilian kids think it's a soccer ball.
See, now that's a good one, Tom.
You see, because BB-8 is round.
The jar is round. The lid is round.
There is
Why
no
don't
spoon.
They call it round tea? Anyway. So many inside jokes tonight. Oh.
Anything goes.
We should just have her sing it from now. We don't even need the clip. See that? Someone said once the Edison opens, STK will close.
An orange. I had a grapefruit just for the show, too.
What are you two talking? I'm in the middle of a show.
So are we.
So you're just talking about fruit?
We're snacking in
You know
here.
We're on
Relevant.
FM radio
Relevant.
Right now.
We have some fruit in the studio.
And we're talking about Michelle eating fruit.
There was a pleasant odor in here for once. What is that?
Well, it wasn't Nick's skunk coffee.
Yeah.
Skunk coffee. I had to counteract
Wait, what?
It.
I walked out in the hallway before and I said to Michelle, is there like a skunk out here? And she goes, oh, Nick's making coffee.
Seriously? What's up with my coffee?
I don't know.
It's gorgeous. It
smells like skunk.
It's wonderful.
It's gorgeous.
Your coffee's gorgeous.
It's delicious.
That's better.
Anyway. Can I continue with
yes,
the
please.
Show?
Yes, please. So sorry.
There's people like listening and watching this live right now.
Locally sourced milk.
I'll give you some
with
locally,
your locally sourced
milk. OBT for all your locally sourced milk.
Don't make me tell you where faith comes from, Tom. Don't make me tell you.
In Disney's continuing effort to make sure no one goes there, they have closed the secondary bag check and walkway used to enter Disney's Hollywood Studios. This path was often used by more knowledgeable guests under the park, as fewer guests would travel this way. It also had its own dedicated security bag check and metal detector in recent years. It was located just off to the left of the main park entrance.
Tom, that's the way we went, right?
Yes.
Why'd they close it?
I don't know, despite me. They want me to burn this sweatshirt at some point.
They want to funnel all the terrorists through the other side.
Wow.
Makes sense.
The path will now act as a guest and tumbleweed exit from the park. All guests will be required to travel through the main entrance, security checkpoint, and future gondola terminal directly in front of Disney's Hollywood Studios when entering. The previously announced Joffrey's Coffee Kiosk, it's hard to say, at the Magic Kingdom now has a name, Revive. Maybe that should be the name of the one at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, Bazinga.
Joffrey's Coffee has confirmed our speculation that the construction near Space Mountain is for the new kiosk, opening in March, also before Pandora, the world of Avatar. The location will...
See, orange.
Before Pandora, the location will even offer a beverage exclusive to the Magic Kingdom Park, the More S'mores Latte, made of espresso, ooh, rich chocolate sauce, sweet marshmallow syrup,
oh my God,
whipped cream, graham cracker sprinkles, marshmallows, and all the LeFou's brew they had to throw out the night before.
That'd be delectable.
The new drink will be available hot or iced.
I want that right now.
That sounds good.
It does sound good. Smart.
Wow.
But when you can't have alcohol, you gotta
getting that every day.
Things out at Joffrey's. Marvel has announced that Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Number 1, a one-shot comic book based on the upcoming ride at DCA, will be available for purchase this May. There will also be a few variant covers, including one with a paper bag over it.
That's great.
It looks like a paper bag. So let me get this straight. There's a comic book inspired by an attraction that's inspired by a movie that's inspired by a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
That's inspiration if I've ever heard it.
Full circle. Synergy.
There you go. Jungle Cruise joke. Anyway. Imagine, Nick, imagine being able to delight in the sparkle of the Magic Kingdom fireworks from an intimate and private observation.
Yes.
Celebration at the Top, a new dining event coming to California Grill at the Contemporary, can be perfectly summed up in three words. All your money.
I like it.
Celebration at the Top guests can check in an hour before fireworks after being whisked up to the California Grill, which sits on the 15th floor of Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. I mean Contemporary Resort. Guests will then be taken to the intimate and secluded banquet rooms. They can enjoy... is that canapes? Is that what that is?
Canapes.
Is it canapes? What is that?
They're hors d'oeuvres. They're... vegetables. A canapé is like a...
Like not a fresh pea. Like
a dip.
Get a can.
Okay.
Canapés.
No, a canapé.
What a bunch of idiots. Oh my God. Guys are the worst.
Basically, it is a veggie tray. That's a canapé.
Okay. Anyway.
Because the green veggies form a canopy over the tray, the serving platter.
Nick, please shut up. Please. I'm begging you. We have only so much time.
Family Feud coming up.
A selection of sushi rolled by expert California Grill sushi chefs. Mm. A selection of flatbreads and other small plates. A quote-unquote complimentary bar offering craft beers, California wine, cordials, and coffee will also be available. Is anything complimentary when you pay $100 to go to this? I'm pretty sure you're paying for everything there.
Like so when you get the free gift when you pay to go to the pin trading event.
I suppose.
Oh, there you go.
Same thing.
No one ever says
$100 a person?
Then plus tax and gratuity.
My Lord.
Just before the night spectacular begin, guests will be led to their private observation deck, which offers stunning views of the Magic Kingdom Park and broken down monorail.
So you can't walk out there anymore, because you used to be able to go out the side door, go past those banquet rooms, and then go out to the observation deck.
Well, I think this is the other deck. I think it's going to be the deck on the other side.
Oh, okay.
The side not facing the Magic Kingdom.
Right, that's the side I'm talking about.
I think you can still see it. I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm going Sunday, so we're going to find out. We'll see what happens.
Sunday.
Breathtaking sights and sounds. Guests can then return to their private room for desserts, including decadent chocolate confections and fruit tarts. Or basically all of the popped art that wasn't sold at the Festival of the Arts. So there you go. Reservations for Celebration of the Top are now open for Sunday evenings, February 26th or April 16th. The cost is $99 per person, plus tax and gratuity, which is still $6 less than a Disney After Hours ticket. Complimentary valet parking is included. If the lady at the front knows what this is, then they'll let you in. What's Tables in Wonderland? Is that in here? Yes, ma'am. A dress code is also in place to be able to attend this event, so sorry, Nick, no tank tops. moving on. We recently told you about a new Beauty and the Beast-inspired overlays that are coming to Disneyland. One of those is the remodeling of Pinocchio Village House into a French tavern-themed quick-service restaurant, aptly named the Red Rose Tavern. The restaurant will open on February 24, 2017, and Disney has shared its first look at the authentic French cuisine, which, of course, includes a cheeseburger, a chicken sandwich, and flatbreads.
For real?
Yeah.
That's sad.
The Red Rose Tavern will be available for a limited time until the decals start falling off. Of course, the news was brought to you by our partners at TeePublic. Michelle, tell them all about TeePublic and tonight's sale.
Well, don't forget to shop apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just go to WDWNT.com and click the TeePublic ad to shop for hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including exclusive WDWNT and WDW News Tonight logo apparel, as well as original creations such as Figaro is a Cat, Seven, Make the Movie Ride Great Again, and more. Don't miss TeePublic sale going on right now, where you can get all of the shirts in our store for just $14. I just bought one.
It's a steal. It's a good deal.
It really is. And then you add shipping, and it's still a good deal, so it's great. Make the most of tonight's commercial breaks and shop through our extensive collection. TeePublic, an official partner of WDW News Tonight.
Hey, Nick.
Yo.
Oh, are we going to commercial?
What would you like to do?
Do we need more contestants, or are we good?
Oh, actually, yes. Family Feud. We're playing the Family Feud tonight. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
And we pre-registered some contestants, but some, you know, failed to respond. So we do have two slots open. We have two spaces open for two contestants to play the Family Feud tonight. You'll each be paired up with two other strangers/teammates to try to win this game tonight.
What's the phone number?
Of course. Courtesy of Theme Park Connection, and the phone number to get on and play the game is 407-774-8255. That's 407. Let me repeat it again. 407-774-8255, which also spells talk.
It does.
It's very informative.
Thank you. It also spells tall.
Please.
Does.
Please tell me all the permutations.
That's it. We couldn't figure out any other ones. That was it.
Lat?
No, what?
It's tall backwards.
All right, folks. Doesn't spell that.
We'll be right back with this disaster in progress.
I'm Tom Corliss, the most famous man in the Disney online community. But you know, it wasn't always this way. For 9 years, WDWNT.com posted photo reports and videos of the highest quality, but it seemed that no one outside of a very dedicated group of fans were able to find our work. But then, I discovered the secrets of blogging, and now WDWNT is read by millions of people each and every month. I'm ready to share my secrets with you in my incredible new class, Tom Corliss's Unofficial Guide to Blogging, this weekend at the Orlando International Airport Marriott. In this fantastic course, you'll learn amazing things to improve your clicks and page views, such as when to use the word breaking in all caps, how to misguide readers in your titles in order to get more clicks, how to come across vaguely racist in movie reviews, how to turn a number into a catchphrase and huge merchandise sales, how to steal stories from California randos off of Twitter, and how to piss off that one really scary guy on WW Magic who may have women trapped in his basement. So come on down to the Orlando International Airport Marriott this weekend and take my course for only $77.77 per person. In no time, you'll be the new king of clickbait, the grand poobah of page views, and the sultan of ad sales. And don't worry about your readers. They'll never even realize you're dumbing down your content. See you real soon, suckers!
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. We are live on 105.5 FM, AM 660 and AM 1520 in Orlando. We're also live, of course, on YouTube, but also at listen.wdwnt.com. And, of course, on WDWNT, the app. Thank you for joining us once again. We got the Family Feud coming up in a few minutes, but we got some pressing issues. It's been a big couple of weeks. We've had to stop and do these kind of news talk things the last couple of weeks. But I want to bring joining us from around WDWNT.com, Jason Diffendahl, David Smith, I believe, with us as well.
Yep.
Guys, I want to talk about Coronado sing with concierge and a rooftop restaurant. This was a moderate resort, and now seemingly much, much more. Another 500 rooms to what was already a giant, giant hotel. What exactly do you think is going on here?
Well, first, I think it's clear it's not a moderate resort anymore. They're definitely pushing it into the deluxe area. I think the big question is, and you've brought this up on the site previously, is this going to be an actual deluxe resort or is it a business deluxe? And I would suspect the latter. I think they are definitely trying to build this to attract business travelers and conventions and take some of the load off some of the other convention centers in the area. I mean, that it almost seems painfully obvious to say that, but I definitely think that that's the direction they're going.
Yeah, and we would assume it would be hard to make the existing rooms, even with a remodel, make them deluxe, because I think one of the hallmarks of the deluxe resorts has always been interior hallways. And so I think it'd be real tough, unless they really went and closed every building, which they're not going to do, to make the rest of the resort deluxe. But I think clearly the 500 rooms in the tower will likely be deluxe, and then the other rooms will be made business adequate because most business people who aren't Disney people that stay at Coronado will often say, yeah, it's a nice hotel, but the room doesn't fit any of my actual business needs. So at least the tower will be deluxe, and it seems the rest of the resort will kind of just be moderate pricing.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think, you know, when Contemporary was a deluxe resort, and then you had the Wings, the Wings were always kind of like second class citizens.
Yeah,
the rooms were a lot cheaper, but you were kind of not in the cool place to be.
But then priced accordingly, typically,
and priced accordingly, absolutely. So I think Coronado's gonna end up being like that, where you know, the people that can afford the tower are going to stay in the tower, and the people that, you know, have to watch their budget, especially for business travel, you know, not everybody's on an open-ended expense account. So the people that have to watch their budget are certainly going to opt for the regular rooms. And as long as there's a desk and some internet and, you know, whatever in there that they need for business purposes, that's going to be adequate. So I think actually, I think it's going to work out well. I think it's going to be better than something like the Yacht and Beach or the Contemporary, simply because they're going to have two different tiers of room rates at the same resort for the business people.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense having – if you're going to have most conventions moving here, it does make some sense – to have a variation of room options, you know, so that way I'm sure there's people at the same convention. Some people are going to go have a great time, get a really nice room, and really live it up. And there's some people that just are going to go and would like a cheaper option, and that's where the older, you know, moderate rooms will come in. And it makes a lot of sense, especially if Contemporary's not going to have a convention center in 4 or 5 years. Expanding this one and doing all this seems to make a lot of sense. But then there are things that also still seem to cater. While, yeah, they'll cater to the convention crowd, there are things that I think excite regular Walt Disney World visitors, like people listening and watching the show. I think the idea of that central island where they're finally going to sort of connect all of Coronado in the middle and make things a little more manageable to walk is really great. But then also they're putting in a rooftop restaurant with fireworks views. I mean, that's something that appeals across the board, and they're going to get a lot of regular tourists showing up with stuff like that.
I mean, what? So are they expecting that you're going to be able to see Epcot fireworks from there?
Well, Hollywood Studios for sure.
Okay, yeah. Hollywood Studios, which is fine. Yeah, Epcot is pretty much – I mean, Epcot is going to be the fireworks you're going to watch when they build the Caribbean Beach Tower, which may or may not have a restaurant on top of it, yes. Yeah. But yeah.
Which sounds like it's going to be almost the same thing, another 15 stories, but Vacation Club in that case. And with a gondola, maybe. It seems that's what's going to happen. Let me ask, both of you guys are DVC. I want to ask, what would make you buy at Caribbean Beach? What on earth would be the reason to own at Caribbean Beach? How would they? Would the gondolas and a tower be enough to make Caribbean Beach wanted?
I think the answer to that is really, you know, David, do you know what properties are they currently selling right now?
The only ones I know of are Alani,
Polynesian,
and Poly. I think they still have some Poly left. That's it.
So Kidani's sold out.
Even Saratoga.
Point.
Yes. Saratoga's gone.
Saratoga's been gone. Right.
Copper Creek will be on the market shortly, we believe.
Yep. Yeah, so Copper Creek will be on the market shortly, but Copper Creek is not a big resort. That's going to sell fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And then, so essentially what's going to make you buy at Caribbean Beach is if you don't want to buy in Hawaii.
Right.
They're going to be your choices.
Which is pretty enticing.
So Alani's going to...
But what would stop people from just being like, I don't want to, I'll wait for the next one, I know there'll be another? Caribbean Beach enticing enough, though? With a gondola and that building, would it be enticing enough?
I think if your other choice is Aulani and you don't want to buy in Hawaii because you don't ever think you're going to go there, then yeah, that's what's going to entice you.
Yeah.
They're going
to. But are people going to feel cheated that they're going to get a converted deluxe, essentially?
No. Because they know
we know Bay Lake Tower 2 is somewhere down the line. Why wouldn't people just wait?
I actually think they will. I think there are going to be people that are waiting. I think the only thing they can do to make it attractive is come in at a lower price point than some of the other deluxe resorts. And I know they're hesitant to do that because of how it devalues the value.
Yeah, wouldn't that throw off the whole system?
It does a little bit, but I'm not sure how else they do it.
I think the way they do it is sort of like the same way that Saratoga did it. You know, there was no compelling reason to buy Saratoga Springs because the prices were the same as the Poly, the Grand, Aulani, Kidani Village was for sale at that time. The price per point is the same. The way that Saratoga did it, and did it somewhat, I wouldn't say it was super effective, because it did take a long time to sell out, but then again, they had an enormous amount of inventory, was that the points per night is at a lower price. And so when you're booking and you have the home resort window at 11 months, you are able to book a resort that costs less per night for your points than Wilderness or Beach Club or Bay Lake or Poly or Grant. So, if you're looking to make the most value out of your points and the points per night cost for the rooms at Caribbean are significantly less than maybe they're going to be less even than Saratoga. That's going to be attractive to people who can only afford to buy, say, 100 points and are going to try to make a week's vacation out of it every year.
Right.
They need to stretch the points. And so that sort of priority period for the owners at that resort is going to be important to be able to get in there and do that. So I think there's, in my mind, there's enough reasons to buy there. Certainly some people will wait, but some people are also going to say, well, I'm not going to wait because I know the price is just going to go up anyway. So between the price, between the people that don't want to wait, there's going to be enough inventory for them, but not so much inventory like an enormous resort like Saratoga. So I think they're not going to worry because there's not going to be that much inventory that it's going to take forever to sell.
Yep. Right.
There may still be some Caribbean Beach inventory left when Bay Lake 2 comes around, but that's kind of what they want. You know, Disney has been in a situation in the past where, you know, they didn't really have a resort to sell. And that was very bad for DVC because they could talk to people and try to sell. But when people said, well, what am I buying? They're like, well, we kind of don't have a resort right now to sell. So they don't want to be in that position either, which I think so. Caribbean fits nicely because there's not going to be a huge demand, but there's also not a huge supply. It's balanced out pretty nicely.
Well, guys, we are going to spend a lot more time on this on the podcast, which will be out sometime in the next week. We're going to dive into this a lot more, but thank you guys very much. We'll see you guys again next hour. We're finally going to finish off that transportation conversation we have to finish up. All right, Nick, let's play the feud. All you, Nick. What are we doing?
You got it in front of you.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Am I starting with this?
Yes,
that's fine.
Please.
We didn't rehearse this.
Go for it.
Before we introduce tonight's contestants, let's go over the playing rules. All answers were taken from real polls conducted by WWNT. Time permitting, we'll play 5 rounds. At the beginning of each round, I'll ask a member of each of our 2 teams to face off for control of the board. After the poll question is asked, the contestant may buzz in by saying the word, a word we're giving them. Team 1, your word will be buzz. So you can say buzz.
And then...
And Team 2's word to buzz in will be Woody.
Ah,
get it?
Yeah.
Get it, Nick? You're so smart.
Oh, look at that.
Whoever guesses the more popular answer in the survey can pass or play on the round. Starting with the next team member line, each gets a chance to give 1 answer. Team members may not confer while in control of the board. The team gets a strike if a player gives an answer not on the board or fails to respond. 3 strikes causes the team to relinquish control of the board, giving the other team a chance to steal the points in the bank by correctly guessing 1 of the remaining answers still on the board. The entire team then confers on an answer to be given, and if the team guesses the remaining answer correctly, they get all of those points. All right, so let's go ahead and meet our teams. Nick, introduce the teams.
Go ahead, Michelle.
No rehearsal.
It's all good.
Please welcome Team 1 from Nova Scotia, Canada, Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
All right.
Long distance.
International.
Love it, yeah.
From Illinois, we have Chuck.
Hello.
Hi. And from right here in the Sunshine State, we have John.
Hello.
It was raining today.
Well, that's why I said that.
So thank you guys. So Rebecca, Chuck, and John, you are Team 1. So your word to buzz in if you know the answer on the face-off is buzz. Okay.
Buzz.
All right. Now let's hear from Team 2.
Please welcome Team 2 from Pennsylvania. We have Steven. Or Stephen.
Hello.
Which do you prefer?
No, Steven. You were right.
Steven. All right. From Washington, D.C., Nicole.
Unmute your mic, Nicole.
Hello.
There we go.
There
awesome.
We go.
Hi, Nicole.
Very excited.
And from New Orleans, or Nolens, we've got Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Ooh, hello.
This is not the dating game.
Oh, man, I missed my shot.
Oh, wait, oh.
Anyway,
Michelle just wants to go to New Orleans and party. So we
do place
Mardi Gras this weekend.
I've never been.
Oh,
it's a filthy city, but a good time.
So, thank you very much.
Ba-dum.
All right, so we have Stephen, Nicole, and Nick on Team 2. Your word to buzz in on the face-off is Woody. All right, so we're going to bring up Stephen and Nicole for our first face-off here. No, Stephen and Rebecca. Stephen and Rebecca,
yes,
I'm already messing myself
two,
up.
Right?
Yep.
All right, round 1, name an attraction that is no longer open at Hollywood Studios.
Buzz.
That would be Rebecca.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Streets of America.
We don't have the board.
Do we have the board? Yeah, I was wondering.
Nope, there's a number 3.
Are you going to wait for the board or what?
I don't know what happened this game.
Hold on.
Remember all the dating game went last week? Yeah, we're going to make up for that tonight.
Are we?
Look at this. We got these graphics and everything, and you're skipping over them.
By the way, skipping
over the graphics, Nick.
I didn't know. So if you're only listening to the audio feed, maybe on the radio here in Orlando or wherever, we do have some video going along with this at listen.wdwnt.com. The Family Feud board is right there.
Look at that. It's got our logo and everything.
Wow, that's very gorgeous. Cool. They couldn't change the M to an N. Come on, Jason.
Change. What end to an M?
For Family Feud.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
No, he's just like, no, shut up and do your job.
Love it.
Oh, boy.
All right. Sorry,
now,
guys.
Steven gets to answer because she missed it, right?
Yes.
So gets thrown.
Yeah.
All right.
There's the X back from left. An hour ago.
All right. So we had the X. So, Steven, your chance to take this board?
The Backlot Tour.
Show me Backlot Tour. There it is, the number one answer on the board
nice.
For 45 points.
Oh, team
Why
two.
Are you playing the buzz?
I didn't buzz. I swear I didn't buzz.
Sure you didn't.
All right.
You guys going to pass or play?
We're going to play.
All right, let's play the feud.
All right, excellent. All right, so, Nicole, name an attraction that is no longer open at Hollywood Studios.
The American Idol Experience?
See the
is
Idol? See,
that's
Idol.
That's gone.
There it is. Number three Yay! Answer. 11 people said it.
Wow.
What? Why are you buzzing? Oh, man.
This game's just getting started. It's going downhill.
It's about how they all start.
That's pretty much what we do here. I don't know how
often you listen, last week after the dating game.
Right?
That was your moment, Nick.
The first show with no problems.
All right, Nick,
show.
You're up next. Name an attraction that's no longer open at Hollywood Studios.
Lights, Motors, Action.
The Lights, Motors, Action Extreme Stunt Show's on the board. Number two answer.
All right, you guys are rocking only one real strike so far. Steven.
Wow.
Steven, you're up next.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground.
Let's see it. Nope. No love for Auntie tonight.
Oh, man. I loved that playground.
All right, Nicole, two strikes, three still on the board. Three answers still on the board. Your turn.
Close the... One man's dream closed?
Kind of. No, it's not. But
that I think that's only two strikes for them.
You sure?
Yeah, I know it shows three,
oh,
but that's
yeah, he hit the wrong button.
Face off.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
problem, no problem then.
So you get one more.
You get one more. Go ahead, Nick.
Let's see. Here Come the Muppets?
Here comes, wow. Here comes the Muppet. No.
Not on the board.
You're giving the audience a little too much credit there, Nick.
All right. Well, Rebecca, Chuck, and John, you guys get to steal. I have you all on. You guys can talk to each other, figure out which answer you'd like to go with to steal this.
I'm going to say Sounds Dangerous.
I don't remember that one. I'm blanking right now, so I'm not going to be much help.
Yeah, I don't know anything either.
So you guys want to go with Sounds Dangerous?
Or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, maybe, too.
Okay, let's go with that one.
What are we going
who
with?
Wants to Be a Millionaire. Let's try that one.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Play it!
Got
it! Is!
All right. That one was all yours,
you're
guys.
You're supposed to play the music. Come on, man.
I don't have that. Calm down.
Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Calm down.
I was a sit-in for Meredith Vieira once.
Nice.
Yeah,
you look just
lighting,
like her.
Her
oh, just
double.
Kidding.
We had the same hair color and same
hair. I actually got to participate in that. I got up to the $200 and then lost everything.
Oh, wow.
I didn't
Good
make
job.
It that long.
It's farther than I got.
All right, let's see the other answers up there. Number five, Superstar Television. And number six, There Sounds Dangerous. That would have been a good one also.
Yeah. We got it either way, but very good. And so team two got that one. Yes, exactly. So
no, team one got it.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Right. It's team one.
Team one, 87 points, right?
They, oh, they stole
thank
it.
You, Michelle. Yeah, so I was about to say
oh,
it, then I figured
boy.
Nick must be wrong.
Oh, boy.
Calm down,
I don't know. I'm watching Nicole's video, and it's just the roof and her nose.
Do they get the points for the one that they used to steal it or no?
They get points for all four that were up there.
All right. So 87.
Math game time.
Oy.
There Here we go.
All right. Excellent. Let's bring up... see, I told you we'd need an hour for this one, Tom.
We sure do.
Hey, let's bring up Chuck and Nicole to face off now.
mosquito. All right, your question for round two is, name an animal you can see inside the seas with Nemo and friends.
Oh, Woody.
Nicole.
Woody. Crush, the turtle. The sea turtle.
Let's see Crush the turtle.
Dude, you know.
Once the board loads.
What?
Wait a minute, hold on. What?
A mistake, Nick didn't make.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why is dolphin there?
That's my bad.
Come on. All right, well, dolphin's already burnt off, but there's turtle. So there's, it's going to be top five answers after dolphin we're playing.
So anyway, Nicole got the number one answer.
The number two answer, turtle, is now the number one.
Exactly.
So you guys want to pass or play?
Let's play.
Play what's left of the feud. Come on. Oh, boy. Nick, whose turn is it?
All right. So that was Nicole. So Nick's up now.
Nick, give us an animal you might find at the seas with Nemo and friends.
A manatee.
See the manatee. I'm really annoyed that's not number one, by the way.
Aww.
It's there. It's fine. It's all good.
All right. Very good. You guys are rolling. Steven, you're up next.
Clownfish.
See a clownfish. Ain't no funny, because they're clowns.
Excellent job so far. Back to Nicole.
Shark.
Let's see sharks.
You guys are getting this one. Only one answer left on the board.
Can we sweep the...
It's all up to Nick.
Sweep the board.
Geez.
Animal
I'm
you might find
say,
seas
like,
with Nemo.
I'm going to say like stingray or manta ray.
Stingray or manta ray. Nope.
Oh,
first strike.
That's what I was going to say, too.
All right. Well, what do you got for us, Steven?
Eel.
Let me see eel. Sorry, I didn't mean to giggle. Eel!
He stole my stingray, which apparently wasn't very good.
Let me see eel! Nope, it's a strike.
Nicole, one last chance for this one.
The jellyfish.
Let me see the jellyfish. Yeah!
Excellent job, guys.
Oh, we've been great with
all the right. Team fish? Two swept that one. They don't necessarily have to be there. People just said they that they would be.
Well, they get all. They don't get the 28, but they get everything else that's up there. There you go.
All right. Very good.
Let's move on to round three.
All right, we're bringing on Nick and John. Oops.
Maybe. Did you just hang up on him?
I don't know if I did or not.
This is going swimmingly. Get it? Because it was the fish
one. The fish
just
one.
Keep
yeah.
Swimming,
that's
just
cool.
Keep swimming.
Let me find Nick and John.
Michelle, this might be a great time to tell everybody who brings
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Game.
Oh, that's a great.
On the page after that.
All right, well, this game is brought to you by Theme Park Connection. Theme Park Connection helps collectors bring the magic of Disney right into their home. They offer the best selection of traditional and hard-to-find Disney and other entertainment-based items and authentic used props. Whatever treasure you are looking for, you will likely find it in their extensive online store at themeparkconnection.com. Theme Park Connection is your connection to your dream collection.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, Nick, are
most
we,
welcome.
We
have Nick and John on here for the face-off now.
All right.
All right. So the next question, Michelle.
Round three. Where would you go on Walt Disney World property if you wanted to eat a steak?
For lunch or dinner.
Woody.
Nick.
You said a steak or a snake?
Steak.
The snake would be any waterway.
Grand Floridian Cafe.
That might be both. Let me see Grand Floridian Cafe.
Nicole didn't like that answer.
No. Yeah.
There's the buzzer.
I'm just
right.
going to buzz that one.
All right.
So back to Team 1. John, do you have an answer?
Le Cellier.
Le Cellier. Number one answer. It's a steak.
Answer. All right. So
I knew that.
What did you
stop? Don't even. Don't you dare.
Don't you dare stop hitting the button. All right.
We're over to Team 1 now. You guys got control of the board. Rebecca, where would you go on Walt Disney World property if you wanted to eat a steak?
The boathouse.
Let me see the boathouse. Number 4 answer on the board.
All right, Chuck. Stop it.
I don't even want to know.
How about the flying fish?
Flying fish. They do have a really good steak. Oh, it's not what they're known for, though. It is a good steak, though.
All right, back to John.
The Yachtsman.
Yachtsman Steakhouse. Those ones with steak in the name keep coming up here.
I feel like John's had some good steak on property. Rebecca.
I'm guessing he hasn't been to STK.
This might be controversial, but STK.
There it is, STK. There it is, number 2. So people have heard of it.
All right, there's one answer left on the board.
It's got a great chimichurri sauce.
Yeah. Chuck.
Is there a Shula Steakhouse?
It's a Swan and Dolphin. Let's see Shula's. Oh, come on. Named for the greatest NFL coach of all time.
No, the undefeated at a restaurant
1972
there.
Miami Dolphins.
All right. And now we're back to John. You have 2 strikes, 1 answer left on the board.
I'm going to say California Grill.
Let's see if California Grill is up there. There it is with 7.
7?
Yeah, 7. You guys swept the board.
Look at that. Good job.
So Jason's going to do some
math. Round of applause.
All right, so that was 4 rounds. I think we have time to play one more.
We should get through this.
Squeeze it in.
That was round 3.
That was round 3.
Yes, round 4.
Oh, man.
Time flies, Nick.
Oh. All right, we'll see how far we go.
Do you want 4 or do you want 5?
Let's go to 5. Let's go to that last one. Let's squeeze this one in. This will be our last round. Let's bring on
Is
Steven.
This to decide the game?
This is.
So all right, let's do it.
We need the video to go to round 5. There you go.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got it. We can do this.
Yeah, he's got it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
Steven and Rebecca are at the face-off.
Round 5. What item might a guest purchase at the Disney Tag Shop?
Buzz.
Right, I heard Rebecca first.
Luggage.
Let's see if luggage is on the board. Hold on, let the graphic go. Luggage.
Awesome graphic.
This is the peak of
the number one answer.
It's the number one answer. Do you guys want to pass or play?
We'll play.
Just ignore all the noise.
Hates me tonight.
And please ignore the P on the board.
That's fabulous.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Come on.
Chuck. No.
We lose Chuck?
No. Chuck?
I am here.
You're there.
Chuck, we have luggage up there. What else might you find at the tag shop?
Cell phone case.
A cell phone case. A tag shop known, of course, for travel accessories. It is next door. You can get a phone case, though, I guess. All right. Nick, who's up?
Nick's dialing someone at the moment.
Oh, Nick, we lost somebody again. One strike.
We lost our call to Canada, yeah.
Oh, no. Blame Canada.
We got a minute and a half.
Blame Canada.
Oh, we'll do this. Rebecca, hold on.
Remember, you two could be a part of a WWNT game show. They all go about this well.
No, last week's game was good.
Yeah, it was, like, hey. The one time. And then...
John?
You're luggage tags.
Will you find a luggage tag? You will. It's number 2. One more to sweep.
All right, Rebecca.
What else will you find at that tag shop?
Like a pillow, a neck pillow.
Will you find a neck pillow for the game?
Got
Travel
it.
Pillow. There it is.
Well done, Team 1.
Wow. We did it, Tom.
We did. Team 1, you have won the first disastrous video edition of the Family Feud.
Hey, we have to try everything once. Come on.
Well, then we'll do this again. We'll figure it out. But Team 1, congratulations. But just for playing, for being our guinea pigs, everybody's getting something.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to mail you all something courtesy of WWNT and Theme Park Connection. Thank you guys for playing the feud. Nick, we got a huge hour two coming up.
Team 1, 283. Team 2, 70.
You smoked them. 7.
B.
Welcome to 2 hours of Tom's Worst Nightmare. Welcome back to the WDW News Tonight, where nothing works and the points don't matter.
That's look, right. I think we did a fine job.
We'll see how next week goes, right? Coming up next week on the show. See, I lost my place now. Next week on the show.
That's fun.
Oh, next week's going to be an even bigger disaster. Next week, we are going to be reviewing the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, which starts next Wednesday. So we got to race back here from Epcot and do a show. That's going to be something.
Why don't we take the show on the road and do a remote cast?
Did you see how we just did a game show? You want us to do a remote broadcast?
Also next week, as is tradition, WDWNT, The Price is Right, Flower and Garden Edition.
Oh. Come on down.
As is tradition. All that and much more next week on WDW News Tonight. Also, we're going to disclose this year's edition of March Madness. We're going to talk more about that next week. That's going to be starting up, not next week, but the week after.
People are voting all wrong.
We're going to have
March Madness.
They're
voting for the boring one.
And also, we're bringing back March Tragic. You may remember March Tragic last year. That's when we ended up with our T-shirts. We ended up with the Hollywood Studios hard hats. And we ended up with the Tom Corliss mean tweets. It was our winner. And then we let you guys pick one you wanted us to still make. This year, we're going to do another March Tragic tournament and make some T-shirts.
Is that poll still up on Twitter so people can vote for what they want us to do the tournament
on? I don't think it's over yet. They can. There's four options up for what we might do. It seems like Walt Disney World Restaurants is going to win, but the other possibilities for the tournament are individual food items at Walt Disney World, cast member costumes.
That's the one I like.
Yeah, I know, because then we could have the cast members like call in and yell and stuff. It'd be really fun. And what was the... I don't even remember the other one now.
I don't either.
Oh, parades and shows.
Oh, yeah.
Parades and shows.
That was a good one, too.
Those are the four things. It could be by next week. We'll have all that information for you, but there you go. Michelle, please tell them who brings us WDW News Tonight each and every week.
Well, Tom, WDW News Tonight is brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, if you book by February 26th for stays most nights, February 20th through June 10th of 2017, you can save up to 25% on a Disney Resort stay. Plus, get one more day added to your ticket when you upgrade to a Magic Your Way room and ticket package with a minimum 4-day ticket. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit magicaltravel.com and book your next Disney trip today.
Guys, you know what I think it's time for?
No, Tom. What is it time for?
Shut up. The worst. Let's take a trip to the wonderful world of psychotic comments. Michelle, take it away.
So some of these threw me for a little loop here this week. So, all right. So the story was new bird shows have debuted at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Ryan B. says, those poor birds. Where is their blackfish?
Mm-hmm.
Too soon. Barrymon says, the Lannisters got him. Really? They're birds, not performers. Give me a break. Sarah Jacobson says, oh, come on. If they weren't performing, they'd be on my plate. I don't know anyone that eats
parrots. I thought they'd wind up on the lady's hat.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Especially if the Lannisters got them.
What is the Lannisters? I didn't get that.
It's Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I don't watch that.
A Lannister always spays his pets.
So does Bob Barker.
Well, I have a shirt that says it, so it's funnier when I say it.
If you have to explain it, Michelle, it's not funny. Oh, steak for lunch!
Okay. Coronado Springs Resort to be remodeled into Business Deluxe Resort. Vampire Friendly Hotel says, I'm sure they didn't close everything. This is the part that I started texting Nick. I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I'm sure they'd enclose everything. If you're paying Business Deluxe pricing, they would never never expect your delicate skin to come in contact with that horrible Florida sun. Rest assured, you can spend your entire business trip without ever setting foot outdoors. For an extra charge, cast members will even cover or remove anything within your vicinity that relates to sunshine or happiness to ensure that your stay is as drab as your personality.
Love it.
Coronado Springs is a really boring resort.
Oh.
It's got beautiful fountains.
I had a wonderful lunch there today.
It's gorgeous.
Did you eat steak?
No, I went to Las Ventanas and had a hamburger.
Well, that's a type of steak. Joffrey's Coffee Magic Kingdom Kiosk gets a name and exclusive beverage. Larry says, I love coffee. Kiosks of selling stuff to guests. I understand.
What? She's really hyped up on the caffeine. She's trying to be Larry.
Let's go with caffeine.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So Larry says, I love coffee. Kiosks for selling stuff to guests. I understand. That's the only goal of WDW to sell, but they are losing some needed space. It's like putting taco stands in one large lane of I-4. What?
It's good enough.
I don't understand.
Better than what's currently in one.
Why is it I love coffee, period, kiosks for selling stuff?
I don't know. Just people writing on the internet.
Larry!
Kiosks for selling stuff to guests, I understand. That's the only goal of WDW.
To sell. But they are losing some needed space. It's like putting taco stands in one lane of I-4.
That's Larry's comment.
Let's move on. There's more.
You have to explain it, Nick.
Come on, there's more.
Anonymous says, I wish they'd put taco stands on I-4. It would make the waiting and traffic more bearable. I agree, Anonymous.
Maybe that's what all this work is.
New BLT stand at Animal Kingdom. Melanie B. says, I thought the cheese sandwich might be for vegetarians, but nope. That has bacon, too. It would be nice if there was a substitute you could order. And hashtag entitlement strong says, oh, you poor entitled thing. Imagine the horror that they only have bacon at a stand that serves bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. We're so kind to one another.
There's plenty of that. They could walk 2 feet to Flame Tree Barbecue. There's a beautiful fruit salad.
There is a very nice fruit salad there.
You put barbecue sauce on that?
No.
I put that on everything. I almost
cursed
the bacon
the off of the bad. Cheese sandwich. Just order it without bacon.
You probably could just order it without bacon.
New attraction footage released for Navi River Journey ride in Pandora, the World of Avatar. Science, yay, says. With James Cameron being involved, I'm sure the pre-show is neurological surgery. I have to say this again. I'm sure the pre-show is neurological surgery that implants a chip in your brain that automatically converts all images to 3D in your brain.
Mm.
Science, yay.
Yeah.
Nick L. says, yeah, I hope we get a better, and by better, longer official vid soon. Insert I'm Blue song.
That not how Nick talk.
Family Feud go.
Me know that way talk, right? Good, well.
Randy Dragon says February 19th.
No, don't worry.
Why? What's that one?
Love your work, Tom. Planning our third trip to WDW next year. Your dedication and commitment makes my job easier. Thank you, sir. And keep the great work. Keep the. That's what it says.
They were being nice to me. Why are we picking on the one person that's ever been nice to me?
I'm reading it as it's written.
Who put it there, Nick?
Randy Dragon?
Dragon.
Drogo.
All right, let's keep going.
Hashtag WDW Music Strong says.
Magic Strong.
Oh, sorry. Magic Strong. Heard the music. Got confused.
WDW
Thanks
Magic
for the
Strong.
Input, Tom. Posting from another name. Totally Not Tom says, always like reading the news here. It's the best website around. Psalm Sorless of Corless 2020 says, make Washington more magical as long as people from other sites think of it first. And not Tom Corliss says, great breaking news story as always. I only go to WDWNT for my breaking news and all things Disney. While I am here, I often visit the WDWNT store to get my limited release shirt. I also make sure to tune in to WDW News Tonight Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the latest Disney news. Amazing article, Tom. Rated 7.
7?
Out of 7.
7?
Also, not Tom Corliss, 7?
7.
As in more than 7?
7.
Shirts available on their fantastic sponsor, TeePublic? Or is it the 7?
7.
Different shirts of the same style that I get so I can show my WDWNT spirit every day of the week? I'm so excited for my trip that's in 7 months.
7.
Which I, of course, booked through Magical Travel. Anyway, I have to go get back to my second job so I can continue saving up so I can join the world's fairest level of Patreon. What?
I think that's, like, Tom's, like, top-level Patreon supporter
that
level.
That was... you can put me on camera for a minute. That is... obviously, like, all of those are probably the same sad man trying to come after me, and that's the best plot he's devised at this point.
What, by saying that you're awesome and he loves the website? Commenting?
Well, no, it's clearly meant to be sarcastic.
Nah.
But see, I'm here, and you're there. And I win. Anyway.
Hashtag winning!
I'm such an adult, aren't I?
Adulting.
Yeah. All right, what are we doing? Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about getting around Walt Disney World finally, because we need to do that. So we'll be right back. I'm not going to interrupt the prize in the sky. I'm sorry. Love that. You're listening to WDW News Tonight, radio's only show about Disney theme parks. We're live on 105.5 FM, 660 AM, and AM 1520 in Orlando. Also at listen.wdwnt.com, in WDWNT the app, and on YouTube. Thank you for joining us once again this week. Coming off another record-setting listenership week last week. Thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate your support.
Woo!
Here at WDW News Tonight.
Breaking records.
Very much appreciated. Also, thank you to everybody who bought the limited release Figment and Dreamfinder t-shirts. We were blown away. We can't believe how many of those were sold. And
I hope they make a comeback because I didn't get mine in time.
You didn't?
I don't know.
No,
they're not
sign
supposed
up tonight,
to, though. They're limited
gone.
Release. Like, that should be it at this point. Seriously, though, we appreciate the continued support, and we're especially since the company is actively working towards paying more of our employees. So there's a lot of people here who have worked for a very long time for the company and have made $0 and done it on a voluntary basis all these years, and it's going to be a really nice way
He's going
to
pay us all $7 a month.
Seven?
Yeah, seven.
All joking aside, though, seriously, thank you. There's a lot of people that put in a lot of hard work every week to make all of this happen, whether you read the site, listen to the podcast, watch this every week. And we want to reward those people. We want to be able to give people something for their time.
And by the way, we ended the Family Feud really quick that first hour. I just really want to thank Stephen, Nicole, Nick, Rebecca, yes. Chuck, and John for all taking part in the first full version of Family Feud we've played. We've done it before where we just like had one person, one round, kind of like playing a little bit. But yeah. This was good. So thank you guys for signing up for that, and we appreciate you listening and playing tonight.
We didn't get to plug the wig, so I want to talk about it real quick. WDWNT Interglobe Society, which is the Patreon thing that person teased us about earlier, is another great way that people are supporting WDWNT, and we do some special stuff for them. Tonight, we're going to do one of those special things. Right after the show goes off the air at 11, we're going to be on for a half hour taking questions and just talking with our Interglobe Society members. You can join at patreon.com/WDWNT, or you just click the Patreon link at WDWNT.com. These shows are a great way to interact. Also, one day between now and Sunday, we're going to do one of those park walks, which are another...
Can I come?
One of the incentives of joining. We're going to do sort of an hour-long sort of walking tour where we'll go somewhere Walt Disney World, and I'll point stuff out, and we'll go do things, and it'll be exclusive just for Patreon.
I have to pay to go to this?
You can show up and be on the video.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll have a nice steak lunch.
Yeah. No, we won't. It's closed now.
What's closed now?
They don't do lunch anymore.
They do
you
on
said.
Weekends.
Oh. There's plenty of places for steak lunches.
I don't
lunches.
Think people want to watch us eat at STK for an hour. I don't want to. I don't want to eat at STK.
That'd be amazing.
One fry.
Tell you what, if we might have to do a thing where if we reach a certain goal on Patreon, we'll go to STK and you guys can live stream it. I'll tell you what.
See me
yeah.
and Nick dancing and you going.
If we get the Patreon subscribership over the $500 goal that's been there for a little while, we will live stream to all levels of Patreon, $2 and up. We will live stream me eating at STK as much as I hate it.
Michelle and I dancing in the background, requesting I'm Blue from the DJ.
I can't believe I'm
eating. This would be fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a great way to support WDWNT and get exclusive content. We're also constantly uploading old podcast episodes and things like that. So, anyway, I want to get to this discussion because for 3 weeks we've been trying to do this, and we've had no luck finishing it. So, welcome back. Jason Diffendahl coming back. David Smith coming back. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Hey there.
Yay.
And of course, Nick and Michelle are here also. So I want to go back through some of the stuff we already talked about, and we'll make sure we cover all this. The discussion, of course, this in-depth discussion brought to you by WDWNT, the app, is monorails, trains, and automobiles getting around Walt Disney World. I want to start with parking, because that's what most of us do. Most of us rent cars or live locally, so we end up taking the car there. Where is parking good? Where is it bad? What are some of the tips and tricks to parking? Usually, for Hollywood Studios, I'd give the side entrance one, but that's
gone now.
That's gone. So I don't even know if I want to go back to Hollywood Studios now. That
nope,
that
not.
Makes it so much more difficult to go there. But where is parking good? Where is it bad? What do we think about parking at Walt Disney World?
It's pretty much bad everywhere.
I don't agree with that. I think Epcot's wonderful.
Yeah, Epcot's good.
I walk from wherever in the Epcot parking lot. It doesn't matter.
I remember, like, 3 weeks ago when we were talking about this, and I was saying about how Epcot starts parking on the other side of the tree line, so you have to walk further. I was at Epcot Saturday, and we got a good parking spot right up front. So I'm back happy with Epcot's parking situation now.
So much of parking is just timing. You know, when you arrive, when they're filling up certain sections of the lot, it's hard to say that there's a specific tip to get a better parking spot that's ethical. so it's a crapshoot. With most parking. I mean, Epcot's good, Magic Kingdom's okay. I don't particularly like Animal Kingdom's parking situation.
I'll tell you where parking is bad. Universal Studios.
Oh, my God. I was there over the weekend. $20.
I was there Thursday and Friday.
I was there for a film fest.
It was fantastic because, you know, like how Disney has like 17 parking attendants that tell you where to go. Well, Universal has like three. And so essentially, we're following the line and everybody's following the line, and then like one guy like three cars behind us decides he's just going to go down the next aisle and park wherever he wants, and there's no attendants there to tell him not to. So he turns, and then like three other people follow him, and then you see all these attendants running after those cars that tell him they're not doing it right. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But anyway, that's kind of off topic, and no wonder we don't ever get this segment done.
You know what parking lot is really terrible, and we didn't realize it until like the last 2 weeks? Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom, yep.
It's nearly impossible to get out of that parking lot when everybody's leaving. Yeah.
That because, is the problem. There's a blind spot.
No one ever left Animal Kingdom in droves before. Everybody sort of left whenever.
Yeah.
So you never left with a giant crowd, but now there's these nighttime shows dumping. So the whole crowd's going out at once. And the way this lot is built, it's kind of this big circle road around the lot. These exit lanes, you can't get out because there's just a constant stream of cars coming around.
It's like two lanes out of the whole parking lot, right?
And it's not working.
And there's a bad angle. You can't see what's coming either.
There's some lanes that are, and there's at least half of them are angled so poorly that you're not going to get out for a while. Like, I've sat there. There was one night where I sat there for 8 or 9 minutes because you just couldn't get out. It's a mess.
you should walk slowly from the Rivers of Light show to your car.
Yeah, right. Pandora's only going to make it worse. This is right. It's going to be fun to watch this summer. Hollywood Studios is okay. Now having to walk down to regular security is a pain, but I guess it'll make you want to take the tram now. And Magic Kingdom, of course, is just the worst ever. I love Walt Disney. Appreciate the man very much. I unfortunately do not appreciate that the parking lot is so far from the park and the monorail system is no longer efficient. And so it's not always easy to get from the parking lot to the park anymore.
Would garages help at any of these parks?
Hollywood Studio.
Yeah, studios, yeah, I think. Studios.
Animal Kingdom doesn't need it. It's the way it's laid out is the problem. Studios, I think, actively needs a garage. But they're not doing it, so... I mean, they're getting a gondola, I guess. So
yeah, gondola would help tremendously.
Gondola's going to help. Gondola to the rescue!
That's right. How can we solve this problem? Gondola.
That's the answer to all life's problems.
It
steak,
might be.
Steak for lunch. And gondolas.
That's a premium package right there.
Oh, God.
Lunch steak on the gondolas.
I like it. I like
yeah.
it.
Steak gondola. Yeah.
As long as there's a wine flight for your flight on the gondola.
I haven't looked in a while. Do they still offer AAA diamond parking?
No.
Still, that's
it's gone. Because no one knew what it was.
Right.
I have AAA.
You'd show it to people and they'd be like, what? I guess you can go up there.
That was the best, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have preferred parking now for
$40. $40.
Yeah. People still pay for it.
I was driving into Epcot, and literally the preferred parking was three rows in front of where I parked.
Yeah.
So these people are getting out of their car, and I'm like, you just wasted $20 to save 20 steps.
$20? Didn't they pay 40?
Well, they paid 40, and regular they would have paid 20 otherwise.
Yeah. Well, annual pass, I think you end up paying 20. It's still a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Let's talk about the trams. Does anyone actually take the parking trams?
Not if I can help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to.
Especially when the kids were in a stroller, there was no way it was worth it. No matter what distance it was, trying to fold up the stroller,
yeah,
get in
it.
The tram, just walk. I mean,
well, not even walk. The kids are in the stroller. I mean, with the kids in the stroller, I understand you probably.
And I mean, you really get yelled at. I remember one time. If you sit the two rows that face each other, if you sit in the two rows that face each other, that's actually big enough to fit a stroller between those rows without folding it. And but you know how when they load the tram and then they turn a corner, the guy in the back of the tram is always looking to make sure the strollers are folded, and they stop the tram and yell at you if you have a stroller there that's not folded, even if there's not a kid in it.
Yes, yeah.
It's like the cardinal sin of trams is to have the stroller that's not folded.
I hate the tram.
I mean, the only time I'll take the tram is if it happens to be right there when we're walking by. And that's the only scenario that I've seen where it makes any type of sense.
Yeah, but even then, you still end up having to wait 3, 4, 5 minutes. I mean... Unless you're the person that is barely over the yellow line when they say no more boarding.
That's true. You're still sitting
there. Even if the tram is sitting there, it still could sit there for a couple minutes before it pulls away. So
the only scenario that I've done the tram in recent years is if I've been on my phone, if I want to, like, if I'm in the middle of, like, a text or a game or something like that, and I want to just sit and chill and continue doing that and not, like, walk into anybody. I'll sit on the tram and take my time, especially if I'm not in a rush, to get into the park. Yeah, I'll do it in Animal Kingdom sometimes if I'm on the very far lot, like the opposite side of the road, I'll do it then. I'll never at Studios or Epcot, never, ever. Every once in a while at Magic.
Someone in the chat asked, Tom, don't you usually park at the resorts and then take Disney transportation? I try not to. That's usually not a thing. I will... If tomorrow I want to go to Epcot and Studios, I will probably park at the boardwalk.
The overflow is blocked now.
I know.
The gate comes down in between.
It does.
So, see, here's the other thing. I have tables in Wonderland. So another thing I'll usually do is I'll valet, and we'll go do the parks, and then we'll stop at, the lounge or something and use tables in Wonderland. We'll buy a drink or something.
That gets you free valet?
Yeah, because it's Tables of Wonderland, yeah. So that's a nice thing about it. You can't really do Yacht and Beach currently because of the construction. They're not, unless you actually have a reservation.
You have to have a reservation even if you want to go to Beach.
Even valet, they're being kind of
It's ridiculous.
Rough.
Like, it's a ice cream shop. Why do I need a reservation?
But otherwise, I'll park at the Contemporary a fair amount and walk to Magic Kingdom if they'll let me.
Yeah.
Polynesian's then the backup, and you have to take the monorail from there. And that is. Otherwise, I park at the park. There's very few resorts where it makes sense
now
to take the transportation from there. It doesn't make life easier.
Since they're being a little tougher on parking at some of the resorts without a reservation, how do you go visit that resort? Like, if you just want to visit a resort, how do you recommend guests get there? Like, if they want to go to Boardwalk. They don't have a reservation. They just want to kind of like walk around and check it out.
Boardwalk will be real easy because Boardwalk has a lot of businesses that are walk-up businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell them we're going to Ample Hills or we're going to go to Abracadabar or anything like that, Boardwalk is usually very, very good about letting you in.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that will not Contemporary will always give you a problem. The Polynesian and Grand Flow can be Grand Flow usually a little worse than Poly. But other than that, Yacht and Beach only right now because of the construction. Usually that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But any other ones, you should be absolutely fine. Like,
and
Caribbean Beach, any moderate or any value is never going to turn you away.
Yeah.
The biggest issue is if you're getting there, like if you're trying to go to the Boardwalk at 8:30 in the morning and say, oh, I'm just going to shop on the Boardwalk, they're going to turn you away because they know you're going to park at to go to Epcot. The Boardwalk shops don't even open until like 10 or 11
o'clock. You can tell them you're going to that new breakfast.
and the other time that they'll give you a hard time is if you get there at around 8:30 p.m. Because they might think you're going to see Illuminations or
whatever. That's the time when people would be going to Abracadabra.
It would be, yeah, it would
Ample
be
so, Hills or anything like that, yeah,
right. So it depends, but yeah, certainly the mornings are the worst. You really can't go and say I'm going to Abracadabra at 8:30 in the morning. That's not.
And it's really funny. Ever since they started closing that lot across the street with the bar coming down, the line to get into Grand Floridian, the Boardwalk is like huge. It's like. Sometimes it does back up that far, but every time I've driven down that way now, that's backed up into the median across, street, people waiting to turn and can't turn, and that's been consistently backed up ever since they decided to keep that lot closed now.
To be honest, somebody wrote in about parking garages, somebody said about parking garages. I think the Boardwalk and the Grand Floridian is where they need parking garages.
Yeah, there are some resorts,
Resorts would definitely benefit from parking
garages. Grand Floridian just was such, they messed up that, they messed that up so bad. Having to build that remote lot across the street was so dumb.
Well, and then it locks, and you have to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I want to get out of the parking lot, please.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Grand Flow, I'd build a garage. Yeah.
Boardwalk is the same with the lot across the street.
The last, 10 or 15 times I parked at Boardwalk, they let me park, on the normal lot.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it hasn't been that bad.
No, but I'm saying, even if you're a guest there and you've got to park in that lot across the street, it's still a pain.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're staying there, you really should be able to park closer. But anyway.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about resorts over there by the water, let's talk about watercraft a little bit. I want to talk about the boats, the ferry boats, the resort launches, the Sasagulas, the friendships, all of those. Talk about boats. Yeah, I mean, in most cases, I don't like these. I love looking at them. They provide a great, kinetic energy everywhere they are. But there's a lot of these. I love riding on the Sasagula is always fun. I mean, that's such a beautiful. It's not efficient, but it's beautiful.
It's slow, but it's nice.
It's nice and relaxing. The friendship boats are useless. I do like the resort launches when the monorail is down at the line. Sure enough, I'll obviously boat to Grand Floridian and Polynesian. The little launch boat is fun. And the ferry boat, I never used to take the ferry boat because as a kid I was like, I want to ride the monorail. But now with the monorail down so often, you end up on the ferry boat. The ferry boat's fairly efficient.
I'm surprised
how well that actually works. It's pretty good.
I think I think, I mean, the Sasagula is, if you're trying to get from Saratoga Springs or Old Key West to Disney Springs, the Sasagula is great because it's really, I mean, other than taking a bus, it's probably a little slower than a bus, but it certainly is a nice ride.
Yeah.
The friendships between Epcot and the Epcot resorts and the studios is the slowest form of transportation known to man to get between those resorts. The problem is that there aren't buses. So, you know, you have to take the friendship or else walk. There's not a bus from Beach Club to studios.
No
so
gondola.
That's kind of a problem, but, you know. Yeah, if there's a gondola, then I'd be much happier.
Yeah, I mean, we used to do quite a bit of hopping between studios and Epcot, and you know, the friendship boats were about the only real way you could do it with kids, at least, because it's a bit of a hike.
It is. Yep.
So I mean, you're not necessarily going to do that all the time, and depending on what the weather's like, you know, that's going to determine whether you can take those. I mean, if you're going from Epcot to Beach Club or Yacht or anything, I prefer the walk personally. As long as the heat is somewhat reasonable.
It's a nice walk.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Except for that once you hit that bridge.
I will say...
The I-4 section. Yeah.
Right.
I will say that I've been on the resort launches, the little boats, more than once in the mid to late afternoon, and a storm has come up suddenly, and... those boats are fun when there's a big thunderstorm and they're out in the middle of Seven Seas Lagoon.
There's also some fairly psychotic boat captains.
There's
the
doubt.
Singing guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's the guy who does the captain's log. I don't know if anyone's ever seen him.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's my favorite. He's insane. nope, he's not watching. there's like... Oh, and then and the friendships. I don't know if he's still there. The bird guy? Did anyone remember the bird guy? There's a guy who sticks his fingers out the window, and the birds land in his hands.
Stop it.
It's a real thing.
That's crazy.
Does he put something on his fingers?
I think he has, like, bird seed, but they land on his hand.
That's great.
I don't know if he's still there. I haven't
seen
him in ages.
Better than the show at the Animal Kingdom.
Where's the blackfish on this guy, right?
Exactly.
Anyway. That's boats. Let's talk about everybody's favorite buses.
Buses.
Are they good or are they bad?
Nobody
bad.
Knows.
The only buses I ever take are the, like, every once in a while, if I go into Fort Wilderness from the parking lot side.
Those
I'll
are bad.
Take the bus, yeah.
I hate that.
I hate those.
But you don't really have a choice is the problem.
No.
Like, if I was a first-time guest, I know I pick on first-timers and people that don't seem to know what they're doing. I would completely understand if people get lost on the bus the first time to Fort Wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just all these crazy, stupid names.
It's insane.
You don't know where you're going. It's like, here's Fox Bend, and now we're at Alligator's Foot, and here's Uncle Ben's Rice. Like, what is this access to? I just want to go to Trail's End.
Yeah, I've definitely taken the wrong bus. I've ended
Settlement
up in
Yellow? What does that
shady
mean?
Part of town.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell me where you're going.
An old lady trying to get me candy.
The sign doesn't even say what Settlement Yellow means.
When you're planning to eat at Fort Wilderness, your best bet is to plan to go to the Magic Kingdom that day and then just ride the boat.
Oh, definitely.
It drops you off right where you need to be. It's perfect. And then you can take the boat back when you're done.
Yeah, but I hate those. And those names are so stupid. I hate them. Nothing has numbers. Yeah. Everything's just these weird, stupid names. Anyway. So buses in general, like, I had a fair amount of positive experience with buses. I haven't had a ton of the end-of-the-world type experiences, although I understand at park close, you know, it's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with buses is that, you know, it's actually not from the parks back to the hotel that my issue is. It's from the hotel to the parks. And especially if you're staying at Old Key West or Saratoga Springs, Caribbean Beach, anywhere where there's like multiple stops, you see the buses coming and going, and you're not sure if you just missed it or it's going to stop at your stop. You're not sure which bus it was. You're like, I've like run to chase buses. I hate that.
There's eight handicapped people in ECVs that are going to take up 90% of the bus and take an hour to load.
And yeah, they take a long time to load. So I hate, you know, I hate just missing a bus, and I hate running after a bus. So I, for that reason alone, I do not like taking buses from the resorts to the parks, and I usually will drive.
You ever really want to hate buses? You should take the B-Line in Westchester, New York, because it is the worst bus service to ever exist. I hate the B-Line so much. No one's going to get that, but.
But I mean that, you know, that being said, the buses are generally pretty efficient, and I don't have horror stories. I've never had problems. Even taking buses back from the parks at close, you know, they load pretty efficiently. The drivers are nice. It's not an, there's no horror stories. It's just I don't like having to not know what the schedule is and run after a bus.
Someone in the chat said a Midnight Resort bound post wishes bus full of light up gadgets and screaming tired children. And being completely full is my personal nightmare. That's Chi-Town Court.
What about the Sorcerer's bus? How about that?
Oh, the Sorcerer class?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a thing yet.
Well, I mean, do you think that's going to improve anything?
It's not coming. They said it was just a test.
Oh, seriously?
They said it was just a test.
Oh.
And it's not going to improve the screaming children at all.
Well, no, they're just going to scream more because the bus is lighting up and saying
different colors. Aww.
That would be worse. Like, it's post-wishes. Everyone's loaded wall-to-wall in this bus, and the bus is talking to us.
Yeah.
Like, telling us to go see a movie. Shut up and get me home! Yes. You stupid bus!
Thank you.
Happy birthday! Shut up! It would be a happy birthday if this kid wasn't peeing on my leg! Anyway...
I mean, the only thing I'll say to the bus is what they could do to improve them is just provide some better sense of when we could expect the bus to come.
Yeah.
You know, and how
the
much time
should be up there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Resorts have it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's been great. You know, the times where I've seen what time it's coming and I know what to expect, it's fine. I mean, the frustrating thing is you're at a stop and you have four Animal Kingdom buses go by and you're trying to get to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Those are the scenarios where maddening.
Which I understand logistically, but emotionally, you hate to sit there.
And it's always the one you don't want. They always course. Like eight of them in a row.
Yeah, yep. Downtown Disney at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
So, Tom, I'm pretty sure you recommend the express buses, right?
The price increase hurts a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
See, because my friend Zoe from California, who was out here and doing the parks for the first time in, I think, 3 years, it had been since she had been at Walt Disney World, and she noticed the kind of decline in the efficiency of the other transportation, and she said that next time she's definitely going to be purchasing that express bus. Like, she feels that that's going to really improve.
It doesn't work every day because you always have to end where you left your car, and you always got to be there.
Well, she wouldn't have a car, so she'd...
But you still gotta figure out the transportation back to your resort.
Right, but whatever, you know, it doesn't matter what park you end in.
You can still get back to your resort.
You can, but that doesn't save you that fight. Like, that's when the bus service is at its worst. The bus is not at its worst at 2 p.m.
when you're trying to switch parks.
The bus is a nightmare at 11 o'clock when the Magic Kingdom has closed.
Yeah,
that's when all hell has broken loose.
I think then that's when you Uber. They actually just Ubered everywhere.
But the problem is,
Magic
Kingdom, you can't Uber from the front.
Right.
You'd have to walk to the Contemporary or get to the Transportation and Ticket Center.
The express bus service is most valuable when you're in the Magic Kingdom and want to go to another park. You know, because especially Epcot, because you have to take two monorails to get to Epcot from the Magic Kingdom. But even so, $29 for a whole week is still not bad.
If they want to tack on $10 more or even $15 to then include a shuttle van at the end that will take me home to the hotel I'm staying at.
Wow.
From those back entrances.
Yes.
Not the front of the park.
Yes.
Yeah, that may be the key to making that express bus service.
If they want to tack on $15 to $20 more to take me, the van picks me up at the hotel and then drops me off later, and then the buses do the rest in the middle of the day, that would be wonderful.
Maybe a cheese plate.
Even if you have to coordinate it, if you have to tell them, like, if they tell you, if they tell you the van's going to depart from Hollywood Studios at 9 o'clock, and that's the park I have to end at, that's fine. But just, I don't want to go back out into society. I have no desire to go do buses like a human being again. The express bus, regardless, is great. Like, I think when my parents come later this year, I think I'm just going to get it for the week. It just seems to make sense.
Yeah, if you're there for a week and it's $29, that's a pretty...
Even if you just use it a couple times, it's going to be worth it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be the same as if you Ubered, but faster, and you don't have to go back for security, which is everything. So, all right. Now, the one thing we have absolutely had not gotten to because of time has been everything else. I want to talk about taxis. I want to talk about Uber. I want to talk about Magical Express. First thing I want to tell people, Uber on Disney property is wonderful anytime I've used it. The other thing is, in Central Florida, for some reason, it's extremely dirt cheap. We Ubered from the Polynesian to Flamingo Crossings for $6. That's insane. That's obviously going to be better than the taxi. Mears taxis are the most ridiculously overpriced taxi service I've ever experienced. Not that their service is bad. I just think it's way, way, way too expensive. And then Magical Express, you know, I always like Magical Express. I think it's still viable. I always had good experiences. Maybe there was one or two times where it took them a little while, but otherwise, I think Magical Express is a wonderful way to start and end the trip. It really keeps you in the magic even when you're going back and forth from the airport.
And I mean, the thing about Magical Express is the alternatives are not great and they're expensive. So yeah. Magical Express is...
Including Mears, which is terrible.
Right. Yeah. So for what it is and for the fact that it's free, you can't beat it.
Yeah, I mean, we often do Magical Express, especially coming into Orlando. There are times when departing, we'll rent a car just for the departure, just to give us another hour and a half to do something, you know.
Yeah, they do try to pick you up real early.
Yeah, so there's a lot of wasted time at the airport when you're being picked up. But coming in, it really makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah. We have not done anything other than that, at least when we weren't renting a car for the entire trip.
You know what I used to do to Magical Express? I don't know if I should even say this. That pickup time, obviously, way too early. So I used to just pretend I got back to the hotel late. And then go to the front desk and be like, oh, I missed my bus. Could I still get one? They'd be like, yeah, just go out there and show them the ticket. And I just get on a later one.
Just get the next one, yeah.
Yeah, and it worked. I don't know if you could still do that, but that's what I used
to do. The other thing I really like about Magical Express is, you know, if we're traveling with more than just my family, so if we're going with my parents or something, you know, I'll always pretty much want to rent a car just to get around to places and go to, like, Theme Park Connection or something. But with six people... You can fit six people in a full-size car, but you can't fit six people and their luggage.
Yes.
And so Magical Express is perfect because you can send two or three people on Magical Express and the rest of the people in the car. You don't have to rent two cars that way, and you don't have to deal with trying to jam all that luggage in the car. And you can actually, you know, if you send two or three people and you do the luggage tags right, they could take four or five people's worth of luggage with them on Magical Express. It really saves a lot of hassle with the rental car and dealing with luggage. And then when you do the reverse, you get the luggage service where you can check it at the hotel and then just drive back to the airport. And that is spectacular.
It's crazy what you guys have to think of.
But Magical Express luggage service and resort airline check-in are two of the greatest things that Disney has ever put in place.
Yes. Yep. The resort airline check-in is amazing, spectacular. Yes. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Someone in the chat brought up, yes, Mears does operate Magical Express. When I said Mears, I was referring to the taxi service.
Right.
while Magical Express is operated by Mears, you know, when people typically say Mears, they're typically talking about the taxi service. Which
yeah, it always used to be the buses, Express. But when Magical Express began, the Mears buses did not really exist anymore.
Yeah, they're few and far between.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, Uber is super viable, wonderfully priced in the Orlando area. I use it all the time. Stay away from taxis; are going to kill you. Price wise, they're going to kill you. And actually, fun fact: Orlando International Airport is working on allowing Uber to pick up and to pick up from the airport, which it wasn't allowed previously. So that may be a thing soon, and that may be a real viable option considering Uber's prices. I take Uber home, or I should say, I take Uber to the airport, but you can't get it leaving Orlando International Airport, so it's always real cheap to go, and I ended up taking a cab going home, and it's not, you know, a good price. So maybe soon, if you don't want Magical Express, Uber will be an option from the airport as well.
Hey, Jason, on your last cruise, how did you guys get from – did you go from the resort to port, or did you go from the airport to the port?
We did. On the last cruise, we went from the airport – so we always fly in the day before a cruise.
Yeah, smart.
Because the last thing you want to do is miss the cruise. so what we did was we flew in the day before. We would rent a car for a day. And we would drive over to Cocoa Beach or something and stay in a hotel. And then the next morning, you can return the car. There's Budget and I think Alamo. Most of the big car rental places.
Yeah, I know Nationals over there, yeah.
Have locations right there at Port Canaveral and a free shuttle to the ship.
Right.
So what I did was I would take... I would take my whole family and all the luggage and drop them off at the terminal, the cruise terminal. And then I would go return the car myself with no luggage and hop on the shuttle and go back to the terminal. And, you know, they would go through security and everything and get up into the terminal a while. And I would hop through security with no bags. That makes it pretty simple. And then, you know, the lines to check in are really usually pretty short and efficient, very efficient. So, you know, renting a car for that one day from Orlando to Port Canaveral is cheap enough. You know, for four people, it's much cheaper than the cruise buses. And then the other way around, we did the same thing. So after the cruise, we rented a car from Port Canaveral and kept it for the week we were at on property at Disney World and then returned it to the airport. And, you know, I think a lot of people do that. And even though you're picking up and dropping off at different locations, there's usually not a surcharge because I think it's something that a lot of people tend to do. So it's not a big problem for the rental car companies.
Okay, interesting. I mean, that's what I typically have done. This time we're going and we're going to use Disney's transportation. So we'll see how that goes.
I've used the bus, the cruise line bus from the resorts to the cruise, and they're nice. I mean, they're very nice. They're comfortable. Pretty speedy, you know. I mean, there's not much traffic that direction. You know, you avoid Orlando and you avoid I-4, so it's nice. It's convenient. It certainly is very handy. I think it's just usually a little cheaper to rent a car. Kind of depends on how many people and how many cars you'd have to rent and stuff. But I do like the Disney Cruise Line buses. I think they're very. You know, except for how expensive they are, they're very quick and efficient and comfortable.
Right.
What is the charge for that?
I want to say it's $70 a person one way.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much. I thought it was like $35 a person one way. So
might be $70 round trip then.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It is. I mean,
we should just throw that in.
That's what I've always been surprised at.
Weird.
I think they want people to go to the resort and back to the resort from the boat, but whatever.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah, like Magical Express is free when you're staying at the Pop Century, but when you're paying 17 times that much to go on a cruise, they charge you for the bus.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, we did it this time only because of the number of people that were going with us, but
yeah.
It's usually more cost effective to take other means.
What is behind you, David?
Felicity turned my basement into a dress-up area. So it's my daughter's costumes.
Does she have every princess?
She used to. They don't all fit now, but she's kept most of them.
Jeez. That's amazing.
I thought it was coming to me from, like, costuming
Someone
at the studios.
Someone asked earlier, and I didn't, like, notice it, and then I finally looked.
See a backlot torch ram go behind
them. It
looks
like the,
yeah,
like
right.
the Princess Fairy Tale Hall backstage area. Anyway. All right, well, I think we finally covered everything in this
Cover the gondolas.
It's not even a thing yet.
Oh, it's a thing.
We're going to end up spending like an hour on this week's podcast yelling about gondolas. You, Justin, and I are going to just scream about gondolas for an hour. It's coming.
That's it.
I know it's coming. So let's leave it for there. Not the show that has 3 minutes and 20 seconds left in it. Michelle, can you tell people about WDWNT, the app?
I may be able to do that for
okay.
you. Nope, that's Wiggs.
Because that's who brought us our in-depth discussion each and every
it
week.
Is.
It's WDWNT, the app.
WDW News Tonight is brought to you by WDWNT, the app, the official mobile application of WDW News Today. This app brings you all the latest Disney Parks news, podcasts, including WDW News Tonight, streamed right to your mobile device, park hours, videos, as well as the ability to listen and chat live on the go with this very show and many others. Download the app today for iOS, Android, and Amazon devices by searching for WDWNT or visit WDWNT.com for more information. WDWNT, the app, bringing the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news anywhere you want it.
Thank you, Michelle. We were going to talk about Rivers of Light dining packages. There is not enough time. We will have a big, big, big post on that coming up sometime tomorrow. I'm finishing that off. Nick, next week, Flower and Garden.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, is there any food on the menu that stood out to you? Any new stuff?
I haven't even looked yet.
Yeah.
I've been so, with Rivers of Light and everything else that's been happening lately, I haven't had a moment.
I haven't had a real chance to see if there was new stuff that I want to try.
Josh and I will start pre-gaming probably this weekend and figuring out what we got to order and what the damage is going to be. And
see, pre-gaming for me means something totally different.
Right.
Well, I think there'll be some of that, too. We might take a trip to Total Wine and try some of the beverages that will be at the festival.
Well, and then some pre-gaming.
That's a thing that might happen.
That's happening.
Also, we're doing, we got California Grill.
That's right.
On Sunday, so that's going to be an adventure.
Why did you ever invite me to anything?
Do you want to pay $123? You can come.
No.
It's still available.
We need
the private thing we were talking about earlier?
Yes.
We need more Patreon support before we could...
You're corrupting the system. The idea is to send one person to cover it so we can provide photos and video and let people know if it's worth $123 and a night of their vacation. That's what we do.
I'm trying to get Tom Patreon support. Come on.
I understand that, but at the same time, I want people to understand.
If they want to do some Patreon support, we can get massages and we can watch.
Right.
That's the thing.
Patreon's paying for me to go to that $1,000 dinner package in Disneyland.
We're not doing that.
It's paying for my, my valet parking, my upgraded preferred parking.
Wiggs members, there is a post show coming up in a few minutes.
Thanks, Patreon. You bought me some pins yesterday.
You're so full of it. He's lying.
This is why people write sarcastic comments.
Jumbo bins.
Done?
Yeah, I think so.
And remember, kids, the seatbelt check is around the corner.